26 on your fish passage team?
I entered a couple names. Hey, those of you on the phone as well, I had the web meeting up. Can someone tell me if it's working, please?
It says installation failed. Is that on your screen or our screen?
I think it's on my screen. Let me try to clear it. Did it go away?
Yep.
Good. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Are we expecting more people?
I assume there'd be more people, but that never assume.
Like Stephanie and Bernadette and all of them.
Well, yeah. I guess the nice view wasn't enough enticing.
Yeah. They had an iPod giveaway.
Either that or put the word kegger in the agenda or something like that. I don't know.
I'd go for the kegger over the iPod.
How about a new phone?
I mean, that would work too.
How's it working today?
Oh, so-so. I dropped my phone and the screen is all jacked up, so half of the time it's working and half of the time it doesn't work. So I have to restart it. And
did you take the battery out?
And put it back
out.
I can't take a battery out.
Oh. There's nobody downstairs.
Since I've done that before. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
I bounced around looking for it.
Well, I have to get it eventually, but I'm holding out for a while. I can call 911. Yeah. That's important.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That's a free one.
I don't need to be texting all day. As long as I can call 911.
Great. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started? We'll go around the room here. Can you hand me the sign sheet?
We'll
and
then all the way to back here.
We'll go up. We'll do introductions on the phone. So
yeah,
this is Dave Griffith. I'm a fish biologist with the Corps and chair of the fish passage team.
Sean Askelson, hydraulic design. I'm technical lead on most of the downstream fish passage alternatives for the Willamette.
Fenton Kahn.
David Wells, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, fish biologist. I go to a lot of meetings.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
This is Andy Traylor, Corps. Some of you guys know me from working at the Bonneville Project for the past 4 years, but I recently took a position here at the district in the Operations Division working with Chris Walker and Bern Klatt.
I'm Marie Phillips, Corps of Engineers, Hydraulic Design, and I'm the TL on the High Head Bypass Project.
Jeff Hammett, Project Manager with the Corps.
Well, welcome to everybody, especially Andy.
And on the phone.
On the phone, please.
This is Fred Munzik with ODFW.
Jay Scott with Public Power Council.
This is Doug Garlitz, Operations Fish Biologist, Wyoming Valley Corps.
So we only have three people on the phone.
Is that it?
Kim Ruff.
Oh,
Northwest Power and Conservation Council.
Of course.
And I'm missing my council picnic to attend this meeting.
I'm very sorry.
That sucks.
Well, hopefully you can catch the tail end of it. We had to cancel one of the agenda items. So I'm hoping we can get out right around 2:30 today. We'll do our best.
Oh, bummer.
A participant has joined the conference.
Hi, who just joined?
I plan on spending the whole afternoon.
Yeah.
Hi, Lawrence.
Hello.
You guys are going to have to speak up on the phone.
Okay.
Which agenda item did you cancel, Dave?
The Foster, the last one.
What are you talking about? There.
Great. So, hey, Fred, quick question for you.
Yeah.
One of the agenda items was adult passage update. Were you going to give that one for ODFW, or do you know, is Cam planning on calling in?
Yeah, I think Cam's going to call in. I thought you were going to give him a text or something when he's due up.
Oh, okay. Let me make sure I have his number.
lot of stuff about this.
Oh.
Where's recycle bin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have you do that. Must be in my Rolodex downstairs. So
yeah, no problem. I can do it. Just give me a heads up, and I'll get a hold of them.
Sounds great. Thanks, Fred. So first order of business was review of last month's notes. Any edits or updates, let us know. And then the action items. There was only two action items in the notes, but I also had an action item that I have yet to complete. The first one was for you, Jeff, sending out a packet of info on, has that gone out, or do we need to look into the notes for that?
What I agreed to, or thought I agreed to, was whenever we got the HDR engineering coming together,
okay,
we were going to send out that for review, but there was no package to send out right now.
Okay. Okay, so you guys are still working on that?
Yeah, and that's on my list.
Okay.
It may, Bob will get to it.
So we'll carry that one over. The other one, Bob Wertheimer sent out an email, sort of closing the loop on this one, coordinating the Steelhead releases. And then my action item was to get the group the list of modifications planned for both Minto and Foster. So I'll try to get that done. So we could capture that for this month's meeting and try to get it wrapped up by the September meeting. Any other action items that we're missing or other stuff from last month? Okay. So we'll look at the agenda real quick. We're going to do our PDT updates. Not very many of us from the core in the room, so I'll try to go over which ones I can and hit up other people.
More of us than other people here, though.
Right. And then we're going to have a detailed discussion of high-head bypass PDT. And then the last agenda item today will be the adult passage update. And then, Doug, I have some numbers from... that I got from Chad last week. I don't know if you guys had any updated tally from this week. If you want to give those, or I can just give the numbers I have. It's from about a week ago.
I don't mind giving the numbers. Oh, let me. I just have to grab yesterday's spreadsheet.
Okay. So, PDT updates. going in the order which the packet was sent out. Let me switch the view here for those of you on the phone. So the first one's Cougar downstream passage. Sean, you want to do that one for us?
Sure. We I think last time we talked, I don't know, I hope you talked about replacement rate for the reach upstream of Cougar. One of the things we did was created a new run-of-river operation targeting the diversion tunnel. That's the elevation of using the diversion tunnel. With that said, we haven't gone through and parameterized.
Have joined the conference.
With that,
Dan.
With that,
hey
Dan.
Hi Tony.
Okay. RedSim. So we did a new RedSim run targeting the diversion tunnel. That's the passage route. Although we haven't talked about dam passage efficiency at those levels, survival rates through the diversion tunnel, anything like that. RedSim run is complete. We got an initial estimate from the fish benefit workbook. We used just a flat survival rate through the diversion tunnel and the RO at 60%. I think we need to confirm the run timing is sufficient. So
yeah, it sounds like we need to do a little bit more work on a straw man and then maybe discuss it
right
next month for this alternative run. And then also the discussion on how we want to screen using replacement. What exactly do we mean by replacement? Is it a 5-year rolling average? Is it, averaged over the entire 100-year slam run? how do we want to handle that? So why don't we
I'll wait for NOAA Fisheries to join that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it happened.
So why don't we put that as an agenda item for next month, you think?
Replacement.
Okay. Replacement, and then this Red Sim run, we can go over our assumptions with them and see if we need to tweak anything.
Okay.
Anything else on Cougar?
No.
Okay. Let me just catch up here. Okay. Next one's portable floating fish collector. So I guess I'm the most qualified in the room for that update. So we're working on several issues. One that was recently investigated was issues relating to the electric jib crane. The loads it's picking are exceeding its capacity. So we're trying to order and install a larger crane as quickly as possible. We are still operating the trap, but we are clearing the hopper manually within the hopper well, which is obviously not ideal. But the good news is the silver lining there, I guess, in a way, is we're not collecting.
She's looking for the room, I think.
We're not collecting many fish.
Maybe not.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, it is. That's Stephanie.
So we hope to have We hope to have a new crane on order by the end of fiscal year, installed shortly after that. We're nearly complete designing the new anchor locations for the repositioning. And we hope to award that contract and have the work done by mid-October. Ideally, it'd be sooner, but realistically, I think we're looking at mid-October.
And Griff, where is the repositioning going to relocate the PFFC?
We're going to locate it as close as we can to the tower, hopefully within 50 feet of the front of the tower. And then orient it so it better aligns with the flow going into the tower. Because how it is now, it's we're getting some eddies off the port side of the screen entrance.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to help the hydraulics with that. And then, in addition, we're in the stages of trying to work out a scope with HDR. To design fixes to some of the other hydraulic issues, mostly having to do with the porosity plates, but also including a debris boom and a couple other small items. Anything else I'm forgetting on that? So we're hoping that work will be done by the spring study in February, but that's going to be really tight. One thing we're going to have to discuss either in RM&E or in this team is how we want to plan out the RM&E for fiscal year 15. So we've already discussed we're not going to do the JSATs portion of the study this fall. We are going to use the acoustic cameras and trap catch monitoring to evaluate the repositioning and take another crack at fixing the screens the best we can without major modifications. But then we'll know a lot more about the schedule here in the next, I'd say, month or two, when we hear back from HDR on their proposal.
Schedule for how long it's going to take to get these modifications done?
Yes. And so what we'll have to do at that point, if we feel like the spring study's at risk, is way funding that against putting that off until FY16. So That's about
it. I'm sorry we were late.
No problem.
Did you say what your total catch has been now? I know you told us last month.
It hasn't changed much, so we're still not catching a whole lot.
Okay, you don't have numbers?
I don't have any updated numbers. But I can get those.
Yeah.
The catch is still really low. And then the other thing we talked about right before you guys got here was cougar downstream passage. So that'll be an agenda item next month.
Okay.
We want to share sort of some strawman results with you on looking at a runner river alternative, which came out of the COP analysis. And make sure that you guys are on board with the assumptions we made in that in the fish benefits run.
Do you have the run yet?
We started on it. It's in the first draft. I think we're going to make some changes to it, but we'll share it with you next month. I don't think it's we don't have it here in the room today, but we want to. It's going to be. We're going to have the swag things because it's obviously it's something that hasn't been tested.
So something you're just going to look at in the model and see what it gives you.
Right, and then I think more importantly is we'd like to discuss how we were going to use replacement to screen the lower performing alternatives and what replacement is, how you want to measure that.
Right, this is, I thought we were, didn't we, did we talk about the COP at the last meeting and all, or was that the other team meeting? I think it was at the SLAM workshop.
Yeah, well,
Tim was at it, Tim Kuhn. But, I mean, I know you brought this up at the last meeting about replacement, and I just wonder when are we going to see the stuff to get started on screening the low-end ones so that we can then, you know, focus on the ones that might really be possible.
Right.
I mean, I thought you guys had a deadline at the end of the year that you had to have it all done.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know when the COP team's going to be sharing their results with you, but we can, I think we can move forward as the Cougar team on how we want to measure replacement, what that level is. But sounds like something we need to discuss at the September meeting.
September meeting of this?
Yep. That's what I suggest. So that's it for Cougar, PFFC, Detroit.
So on Detroit, there's not a whole lot of change from what I talked about at the July meeting, but we're working on the task order we have with HDR on the floating surface outlet and the standalone SWS. And I had put down there, this was in response to that action item, I guess I had from the last meeting about having sharing that information for the fish passage team. I had put in that we'd likely do that in September, October.
Okay.
I'm not sure, based on Sean and I exchanged some emails, that it happened by then, but we need to work that out and try to get it to this group sooner rather than later. So we recognize that action item, just wasn't able to.
You're not in trouble, you're not.
Sorry. I am. So.
What was FSO?
Floating surface outlet.
The glory hole.
Yes. No, and I had a question on that with the meeting notes. Because I thought you talked about doing this task order. Was that for everything? Or was it just for this alternative?
No, it's for those things that are in that bullet. We're having them look at refining the SWS as a standalone. Mm-hmm. And that's because of a possible seismic issue with the dam.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the dam's going to fall over, but Corps has certain regulations as the dam has certain seismic level of issues. You can't modify the dam unless you fix that. So one way to not modify the dam would be to have this SWS as a standalone so that it wasn't actually attached to the dam. So
that's right, the SWS, is that the FSO?
No.
I'm having trouble hearing you guys a little bit. So am I.
SWS is selective withdrawal structure.
Oh, SW, okay. And so go on. So basically, if you were to put in the SWS, you may have to upgrade the entire dam for earthquake betterness?
We're looking at it the other way, just making it a standalone so we don't have to upgrade the dam.
And just let the dam fall if you have a big earthquake.
Understand.
Ooh.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's not that bad.
No. It's more of a technicality that we're faced with.
Okay. I thought it was going to be cheaper, though, if you could build it attached rather than have a standalone structure.
You have to upgrade the whole dam. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah, thanks.
So, I think that pretty much covers Detroit and what we're doing. Is there anything else I heard you want to add, Sean?
No, I mean, that covers it. There's independent mooring of the floating screen structure also. Didn't get mentioned, but that's the thing we're having the contractor look at.
And the float-in construction technique.
Right.
So they're looking at a lot of different little bits and pieces here that are kind of loose ends we had still hanging out there. And it's basically all in support of the COP moving forward.
So are you still thinking about attaching or having the floating service outlet attached or near the selective withdrawal structure?
Well, the floating surface outlet would be something that would pass water through the test conduit, which is on the other side of the spillway. So it likely would end up being over there. But if there was a reason for a fish passage standpoint, because we'd want it to pass fish also, to put it out in front of the powerhouse, that could be an option. But it's going to be more cost effective to put it over on the other side of the spillway.
On the south side?
Yes. Yes.
And so that was one of the things we talked about in our meeting with the contractor. And one of the things we have the opportunity to do is actually prioritize use of that spillway gate. So we could use gate one on the south end of the spillway and see if we collect fish at the same rate as we do
gate
over
six.
Near the gate six. Yeah. Or gate five. We don't use gate six. So those are things we're working through. Contractor has some things sketched out right now. We haven't gotten it written up yet. We're on target for a December, I think mid-December report coming out that should combine our effort, the fish passage effort, and what we get from the contractor rolled into the next EDR revision. But you'll see something before then.
So what I guess, we can talk about this, Sean, but I guess one option we have is to, when we get something in from HDR, to have it go out to this team. It wouldn't be a comprehensive piece of our EDR, but it'd be something to see these alternatives and what those drawings look like and the concepts. So as long as everybody understood that wouldn't be a whole big package, it'd be just these bits and pieces.
I doubt you'd hear much complaining.
Well, you never know.
I think we're due. They're due to give us a product on the 12th
of September.
September, yeah.
That matches up with what I think.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Good. Okay, moving on. Any other questions on the phone? Okay.
No.
Yeah. Was there? No?
No.
Okay,
no.
Foster. Fenton?
We really don't have any updates. That schedule is changed. That schedule is old. And the PM and the tech lead were supposed to send a new schedule and some updates to Griff, and they haven't. But expect from recent discussions, the 30%, you won't see it until sometime later on this fall. Later than October, probably right before Christmas.
That's winter.
Yeah.
So December for the 30% is what you're thinking?
Okay. I have no good explanation for that.
Okay.
Moving on. Do you have any questions on Foster?
So all of those will just shift by 2 months then, basically. Huh?
Or more than that. Yeah, this is all wrong. We have a note there that the alternatives were supposed to be shared with. At the last FPT, the project manager promised that we'd have the alternatives to use so we can discuss it today. that didn't happen.
So we're going to talk about it at 3 to 4.
That's off the agenda now.
Is it the only reason you came home?
Part of it.
I will let them know, Stephanie.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, we
notice that they're not even here.
Yeah.
But I will let them know.
Okay. Anything on the phone, Foster?
Hold on, Griff.
Question.
Yes.
So, if the original schedule had held, the EDR would have been done in July. Then comes the DDR.
Mm-hmm.
How long was that supposed to take?
Well, normally they take
normally
18
or
months.
The way we're going.
But this is taking about a year.
Yeah,
to 30%.
We started this team last fall. October will be a year, and this is embarrassing. And we haven't even gotten close to 30%.
Okay.
And again, notice that the PM and the TL aren't here. Yeah.
So if it's another year after that, I'm just trying to think when we might have something to actually put in the river and test, and that looks like maybe 17, 18?
And I think part of why it's lower priority is because it wasn't identified as a place where they were supposed to put in Fish Passage. They're supposed to do the spill weir and evaluate that, evaluate other alternatives. So, I mean, our concept was you do this.
So
you do a design alternatives and figure out how.
Okay.
So yeah, we are doing RME on the fish weir.
I am continuing with the RME studies.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss that on Thursday at the RME meeting, the FY15 studies. So I'm still moving forward with that.
And also, I think it's important to note that if the alternative that comes out of the EDR is operational, then you don't have a lot of the design work in, like, a facility, so you can implement it sooner.
Yeah. It could be just operating the spill bays.
All right.
Changing the operations of the fish weir.
Mm-hmm.
Just like changes in the fish weir.
Those should go pretty quick.
Right. It's not the same as 18 months for a big collector. We got Middle Fork. All right. So Middle Fork, on July 24th, we had our first meeting on temp control targets, and there's a follow-up meeting scheduled for
on September 11th.
Right.
Yes.
So hopefully all interested parties can make it. And we're anticipating a 30% EDR review this fall.
Middle September.
Cool. So we're moving on with that.
So how much time do you think that checkpoint would be? Would we want to have it as part of our regular scheduled meeting, or?
Yep. Yes. Hopefully we plan on getting it out a couple weeks before the next Fish Passage team meeting, so we'd like to commandeer some of that time, too.
Okay, so that, coupled with the cougar discussion, we might be looking at, you know, three-quarter day before the meeting.
Know exactly when you're planning to have this out, but would it be through DQC and EPA review before that Fish Passage team meeting?
So maybe October or Fish Passage
of September. Through, I don't know. But we have to, before we can release it, we have to have everybody buy off internally. So
it's going to be
either September or October.
Yeah.
Have it at the meeting. We'll have to talk about that now.
Okay. Yeah, and if we need to schedule a separate meeting, we can. We're just trying to minimize those for folks.
Right.
Good.
All
right. Moving on.
Next, our fish facility. We have all the 90%, actually we have the 60% comments that it's made. We have our responses to those all written up. And the TL, Bio and myself have a meeting set up for tomorrow to go over that before we finalize sending that out. So that, we're on schedule there for late August, probably going to be September. But anyway, we're going to have that out. And we're ever so close to wrapping up the updates we're going to make to the DDR. And we'll have that done by the end of the FY. And this thing will be on the shelf, ready to be pulled off at some future date if need be. Whatever the plan is in the future, we'll go from there.
Okay. Any questions? So Fall Creek, I know there was some discussion at the last meeting about closing the loop with NIMS on the screens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're still pursuing slopes.
We're waiting to hear back from whoever it was. Christine Leitner? I can't remember which one it was. Chris
Leitner? Okay.
One of them, Chris or Christine.
So you haven't heard anything yet?
Well, we talked to her back before I went on vacation, and she said, oh, it's not a rush. I'm like, oh, you guys act like a rush, so, okay. And then, yeah, so she didn't get all the, I can't remember what she was doing.
I know she was working
something
on
else
something
together
today.
And then get it back over to us.
Okay. So I will follow up.
What we needed was sort of the written thing of here's why we think this is meets, you know, your exception for fish passage.
Okay.
I'll check in with
her and Leon and see where they are at and getting you something.
Okay.
So yeah, everything's going well. There's a little bit of concern about maintaining the schedule with SHPO, but I think we're going to be fine there. So hopefully, when are we awarding the construction contract for Fall Creek next year? We're going to try to do all of it, but I think we're going to to the water supply next year,
first, yeah,
and the facility in 16.
In 16, yeah. So with 15 and 16 foot facility,
which would be great. Foster, I don't think there's anything significant to report on Foster. Eventually, we're going to need to have a discussion regarding both Foster downstream passage and Foster adult passage, and there, the warm water coming out of the spill weirs attracting fish, and then we also have some temperature differentials between the tail race and the ladder entrance. I think once we get through spawning,
does everybody know what you're talking about? Because what I heard was that the adult fish are still not going into the trap like we think they ought to.
Yeah.
There's a lot hanging out below there. And
I think
we're thinking it's a temperature differential.
We're
because it's still
hitting the mark hydraulically. I think we got a temperature issue.
Yeah.
Is my suspicion.
And I thought Ed says, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but when we did a little experiment last month with ODFW Brett, and we closed the weir. Because we thought that might be attraction or temperature.
Yeah.
So we closed the weir for almost a week, and the fish didn't behave differently. Because every day I checked in with Brett, and he said, nope, they're still circling around. So after a week, we went ahead and opened it up again.
Is the full AWS and FWS flow happening?
So for the main entrance, yes. For the side entrance, we have an issue with one of the valves cavitating that will be addressed in the follow-on work, so we're not able to open that one up.
Mm-hmm.
And that one will help a little bit with the temperatures, but so what I'd suggest is this winter we schedule maybe a half-day meeting to talk about that and
mm-hmm.
plan out some RME, especially since we're going to have the radio tag study going. Look at what the downstream passage information is that we got this year through the pit tag antenna and
mm-hmm.
see what times of year we have a conflict between wanting to pass fish through the fish weir and wanting to collect fish mm-hmm. in the ladder. And then try to work out, maybe we do a block design test there to see if we can operate the weir periodically to get more fish in the ladder.
And Graham, just to add to that, I don't know if kind of already touched on this, but Brett Boyd's thinking that part of the problem is it's like 55 degree water coming out of the ladder, and the water behind the dam is like 65, the fish are holding in, and he thinks that the temperature difference there is the reason they want to go in. So if there's anything we could do to where we pull water out of the reservoir to make that a little more similar temperatures coming out of the ladder to what they're coming up the river in.
Right. So, yeah, the ladder temperature should be pretty similar to the tail race temps. So the easiest way to do that is to shut off the fish weir. But obviously,
yeah, I guess what I'm getting at is I'm not sure there's a little bit of flow coming out of the fish weir is causing the tail race temps to be that hot. I mean, it's just sun beating down on that water all day.
Well, it's 300 CFS of 70-some degree water. So it's definitely something we need to investigate.
Steph, you started to say something. Ed said something. Ed Meyer?
I thought Ed suggested some earlier this week. I thought I saw an email where he suggested opening something else, and I can't remember what it was, which I don't know. Sorry.
Okay, I'll follow up with
that. Yeah. I think it might have been, I don't know whether it was an email to Brett, because I thought I saw an email from Brett where he mentioned this, you know, this issue.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from Ed, so I'll follow up with him.
And Griff, do we have a location where we're reporting, like typically a lot of times we'll take temperatures in the ladder, temperatures in the tail race, we'll have in the four bay, the 10 socket, the scroll case.
Can't hear who's ever talking.
Yeah, so I'm talking about temperature monitoring and what we're reporting.
So, I don't know if it's being logged, but the new trap has temperature sensors throughout the system. I don't know what already exists at Foster as far as tail race temperatures or scroll case temperatures, but that would be one of the things we need to do is figure out what information we have to look at.
And we were talking yesterday about reporting, and this is something that should be out there and available for people to look at.
Yeah.
It should be?
Yes.
It is?
It is on the Columbia.
But it's not now.
Yeah, I know. And that's what is we're working on the WPOP, is we're working on these other issues, reporting, consistency, things we're trying to develop. And this, one, this highlights one of the issues, because you should be able to call this data up and look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it might be as simple as adding it to the teacup.
Exactly.
PDFs. So. Okay. Yeah, so expect something here this winter. I think we probably want to wait till Brett's through spawning. He's going to be pretty busy in the next month or two. So. Not spawning fish.
Okay. You see that.
Anyways, moving on. Minto. So we put out a scope to Sladen for bid. And their proposal came back at a roughly 10 times the IG, so we will not be going that route, which means we do have to compete that follow-on contract. And so we're looking into ways of getting it done quicker through small projects and through the Valley staff taking on some of these modifications. To try to get it done as quickly as possible.
Why is the other process along?
It goes through our contracting.
You have set advertising award periods.
Mm-hmm.
So it does.
Our acquisition requires certain amounts of time for contracts to bid.
I hit bypass. So. I don't know if we want to go through what's on here or just go to the...
couple things right
sure.
here as far as key milestones, and I'm not getting into all the other yellow there. But key milestones, 90% review of the EDR. We've got that out right now for DQC, which is our internal review, and BPA.
And we should have that out for the fish passage team in September, probably looking at mid-September.
Mid-September.
Right. So, and that will be a complete EDR document. I know when we sent the 60% out, we sent out the reduced table, and it caused some confusion. So this one should be the complete thing, and hopefully we'll tie everything together very nice and neat, a nice bow on this. So I won't go into all the rest. We can get into it in our presentation. We're just going to get into it shortly.
Great. I don't know if you want to drive from over here, Maureen.
It doesn't matter.
What's that? You can just tell me next slide.
Okay.
If you want
to. Okay, that'd be fine.
Whatever you want.
Sure, that's fine. So the purpose here is we just wanted to give everybody a kind of an overview of the objectives of what we wanted to do when we started this project. And hopefully as we go through this, it will answer some of your questions. If there's questions and discussion after we finish this, we can carry that on today as well. So why don't you go to the next slide there. So for project introduction, the way that this got started was in support of the downstream passage teams, the PDTs that are currently working on the Willamette downstream passage. So that's Cougar, Detroit, and Middle Fork currently we have working on those. A preliminary analysis showed that the volitional passage possibly appeared not as cost-effective as trap and haul. However, volitional passage may have biological benefits. So we wanted to start to look at filling some of the data gaps on high head bypass.
So that preliminary analysis, did that look at the 50-year cost?
Yes,
or
we did that on Detroit. Okay. We were looking at a pipe going down, you know, I don't know.
So it's capital and O&M.
But it was a big capital expense to put that pipe in. And you would think that the buying the truck and having two or whatever, three guys operating that truck for 50 years, it still didn't pencil out.
Okay.
The truck was still cheaper.
Jeff, is that a handout for this discussion in front of you?
We don't have a handout for it, but we can.
Yes, there you go.
So the just to finish this up, the main goal for this project is to inform these PDTs that are currently working on high head bypass. So go ahead, Jeff. So some of the benefits of high head bypass, possibly some biological benefits that we could see from them, less sorting and handling, a reduction in delay, and we could better possibly deal with large run sizes. Also, we could see some reduced O&M costs, and we wouldn't have to be dealing with trucking costs and operation for that type of an effort. Debris handling, and then also design and construction and maintenance of sorting facilities.
And if I jump in here, the reduced O&M cost goes back to Griff's question on cost, and that is it's sometimes easier for us to get construction dollars than continue O&M dollars, as we know. So there is some advantage to the volitional from the standpoint of, yeah, it costs more up front, maybe we can get that down. But we wouldn't have that big tail of, you know, the O&M of paying the truck drivers and people all for returning.
Okay, so next one. So this is one of Griff's slides from a presentation he did a couple years ago, but I thought it just gives a good pictorial description of the densities for volitional passage and truck transport. So you can go to the next one. So here's some important things that we're dealing with in Willamette. Some of the challenges, of course, we have structures that are very high in themselves. We have a schematic that we're showing here. This example is of Detroit. But, you know, we oftentimes have heights of greater than 300 feet. We also have very large forebay fluctuations that we do deal with for normal operating conditions. So if you look at the top line there, 1563, that's the maximum conservation pool. As you know, we regularly fill to that level every year for summer recreation. And then we have the second water line there is the minimum conservation pool. And that's the normal operations for winter flood storage. And then the other existing challenge is the low position of the outlets on these dams. So most of them have, all of them really, the high head dams have the outlets, ROs, penstocks, etc., at you know, fairly low elevations on the dam. So you can see here that we have over, you know, well over 200 feet there to deal with of normal operation and potential head on the existing outlets.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
The test conduit, is it horizontal or is it at an angle? I've heard that.
Oh, through the structure?
Yeah, you know, in your diagram.
To the gate, it's horizontal, and then it starts dropping off. It's shaped just like a regulating outlet.
Okay.
And then once it comes out of the dam, it goes down, and then it goes into a pipe about that big.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Is that what you guys call the Navy conduit?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's at the same elevation as the upper ROs.
Just to jump in here really quickly, earlier I heard that there was uncertainty as to how usable the conduit was because it hadn't been opened since like 1957 or something.
Right.
Has that changed at all?
That's correct, Dan, and right now this is just an example.
Okay.
Yeah. This is just if we were to use something like the test conduit.
This is just, yeah, what we're trying to show here is just we have this huge operating range for the forebay as well as these high, you know, high tailwater to top of dam type of situation we're dealing with.
And at Cougar, there is no available outlet, so you'd be creating one.
Right? Yeah.
So, which
unless
is awesome
you use the RO. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So. Drill a hole in the dam.
Part of what we're showing here is that test conduit at Detroit is the likely location that you could put something through without having to drill a hole in the dam, which also saves money and makes it more favorable to do volitional passage. But as Marie pointed out, you have, as you can see there, over 200 feet of difference from the high pole to that test conduit. But then if you go to the other side, from 1340 down to 1235, you get another 100 feet on the downstream side. So this isn't normal conditions here, but that's the hole we've got that we could use with minimal, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I ask a clarifying question on that? Didn't we just hear, though, that anything you do to Detroit Dam is going to require a seismic upgrade?
No, not necessarily. What we said was if we attach a large structure like an SWS to the dam, that may or may not cause a trigger of a seismic upgrade, but we continue to pass water through the dam. We continue to pass water over the spillway, through the ROs, or through the powerhouse, even though the seismic upgrade is there. So if we can attach something to that test conduit, even if we have this seismic problem, if we can attach something to that point that doesn't transfer seismic loads, then we haven't changed the seismic condition. So that would be another trick.
Okay, because it's a good clarification. Thank
yes,
you.
Yeah.
What if you drill a hole?
You're probably starting to talk more of your... But the other thing I would say to that is, it's not the entire dam that maybe has issues. Structures are still looking at that. There's a monolith here, maybe a monolith there,
okay,
that may have issues. Unfortunately, some of it is right in this area that's test conduit. But...
Never
so it's
even.
Not black and white. It's not.
No. Yeah. But this is just... Again, this is the place where we do have a hole in the dam that exists that isn't used for normal water passage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now this schematic is just an example for conversation's sake.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks.
So here on the next slide here, project goals, I think a lot of this we've covered, but we did do a literature search when we started this, and you'll see the documentation from that in the 90% report when you see that, but we wanted to see what others had done. Is there anything out there that we can use and or any way that we don't need to reinvent the wheel moving forward? And we were specifically looking for a test location, either a physical test lab in the field, numerical model, or even a lab test to develop some of these test parameters further. So are there ways to make volitional passage safe and cost effective? That's the question. And determining the effects of bypass on downstream migrants at high head projects. The next slide, we'll see a little bit more about that. But and then, the purpose here is to begin to fill some of these data gaps that we need to look at. So we looked at Green Peter. Green Peter has, a very good potential to use as a test. And this schematic here that you see, or the elevation view that you see there, is of Green Peter Dam. And it has four pipes, 12-inch pipes, that run through the dam at various elevations. So they run through the dam horizontally. So they enter from the forebay and exit to the 24-inch pipe that runs down the face of the dam there. Thank you. At the same elevation, so horizontally through the dam. That 24-inch pipe on the downstream side there was the one that we used for the test. Was that a year ago last summer?
I think
2012. Anyway, yeah, that we did a high-velocity open channel test there. So one of the big pieces that's very unknown right now is how the fish will do under pressurized conditions, going from a pressurized situation to non-pressurized. So that's one piece of information that we're hoping to get from this test. And this is very well set up for that, with about 120 feet of potential head on that, the lowest pipe there.
So do you want me to wait till the end?
No, you can go ahead.
One of the questions I have about the test is those ancillary effects after
right.
the currency may look fine,
right.
and they may survive in a holding tank.
Right, and I know you'd mentioned that at the last meeting of our fish passage meetings, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that further on here, but definitely that's something that, you know, we're not specifically doing this test, but something that would be for a future, you know,
okay.
that we'd be looking at in the future. Let's see, what else do we have there? Large radius curves. So there are some curves through the dam that are, you know, 10-foot radius curves. And there's valves. Each one of these pipes has a flow control in the structure, so we'd be able to look at potentially some different flow rates and how they do under a knife gate kind of situation with both the sensor fish and the live fish. So we could go to the next slide. So path forward, after green Peter testing, what are we going to do? We're going to evaluate the data that we collect from this. Mainly we're going to be getting some of this pressurized to non-pressurized, hopefully some good data there. Determine what additional data and tests, and that's where, you know, what you were discussing, Melissa, comes in. Any long-term effects, you know, we know we're not going to be looking at everything here. If we see any odd findings or see anything that we need to test that we can't do, at Green Peter, you know, are there other locations where we can do some additional testing to gain some more information? And I think, yeah, so
I'm sorry, on the one before, you didn't have dates on this, did you?
The test that we're planning to do will be next spring to early summer, so we were looking at mid-May to mid-June of next year, because at Green Peter we're going to have to draw down the do an early drawdown for some gate repairs there. So that was what we were looking for, is to get to full pool and then do the test at that time.
Mm-hmm. So you think you can get it in before they do the construction work?
That's the idea. That's okay. What we want to do.
And when is the report going to be out? I mean, the study plan going to be out for review?
That's going to be mid-September. Yeah. So we're going to have the 90% the 90% EDR is mid-September. So, but the test plan itself, we're going to be working on that schedule coming up.
Okay.
You should see it sometime this fall, early winter.
We haven't really worked on kind of the upstream connections yet, the temporary things that we're going to attach to do the test. So
okay. That's
our next step.
Yeah. Our focus was to get the 90% out and then work on the actual plan that we will distribute and circulate for review, and you know, our guess is it'll be sometime late fall, early winter, and then we can address everything over the winter and prepare for the study next spring.
I think it'd be really helpful to clarify for everyone moving forward exactly how different this is compared to a criterion bypass. I think that's critical to lay down how, you know, to compare the two, go back and forth, mm-hmm. and compare which pieces of the criteria are not being met through this bypass,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know,
and I think some of that is explained in the 90% report, but that's a good idea. I don't know that we put a table in there, so that might be something that we should do, like a comparison. We do have a number of different places in the report where we do a comparison, kind of a table, but I don't know if there's anything specific criteria wise comparing.
I think it's very important in terms of just exactly what you're laying down as part of the record, because it's very debatable, and we can all agree to disagree on whether or not certain things are high head bypasses or other things are high head bypasses or how we're defining this. But I think it's really important to just state, you know, and not dissect the criteria into different pieces, but just go line, you know, section by section and say through the screen criteria how this is different. I think it's a good mm-hmm. clarification.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, that's a good point, yeah.
Thank you.
I think at this point at Green Peter, what we're planning to test is just to try to get additional data that, for instance, I think if you look at the criteria, it says that the bypass should be no pressure on the fish, atmospheric pressure, right. And we're trying to gather up information, one, what, how do they survive through that system at atmospheric? How do they survive through it if we have, I think it's 30 feet ahead would be to our first upper
line. Yes, I know, I agree. Don't say that I'm not following you, but this is going to be a piece of a record that other people are going to draw upon and go, well, I'm just going to do this, and I may or may not be right about how I interpret what the language says.
So one thing we'll have to do is work closely with you guys so that we can help you with those sensitivities on the criteria and make sure that, you know, because for us, you know, some of the terminology isn't as important.
Right.
And well, however we can do, whatever we can do to improve that for you guys.
Absolutely, because you have to keep in mind that we're not just working on the core projects.
Right.
And
right.
Our group is being asked to go down now into California and work on other projects down there. And the FERC process is completely different. And so...
Yeah, so let's just make a commitment right now to work closely together so that we don't run afoul of you guys anywhere.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, this might be something...
We do want to pursue this alternative because, you know, I think, like, what you guys have at North Fork is really awesome with how that goes through the dam and downstream. And just...
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Just all the problems that something like this can solve with the small debris and fish densities and handling.
But see, we can't tolerate what I would anticipate are going to be additional mortalities through their system. The way that we got to the endpoint on that system is very different than how we're getting into the endpoint on this system.
Okay.
So, I mean, their survival standard, you're not going to meet it. So
yeah, let's just make sure that you know, we can work out some of those details and processes.
And so so you're going to do some study next spring.
A study.
Mm-hmm. And the last meeting we talked about, you know, you guys want to do it through the PDT, and we said, well, it really ought to go through the RM&E team. You're like, sorry, it doesn't work that way. And we said, we don't know why. But anyways, are you going to have a study proposal that you're going to let us review?
Yeah, so and let me try to clarify that. It is going to be sort of a, and this is all language, but a pseudo RME study, but it's going to be through the PDT. And the reason why is that's where the funding is coming from. However, it's too late in the game now to attach it to the RME study proposals that we're circulating right now for FY15 funding. So this study, the test plan, and then the proposal from the researchers will be routed to the agencies for review sometime over the winter. Let's just say over the winter. Just like we would with a typical RME, it's just that funding is going to come from the PDT money and not the RME dollars, because the RME dollars is already booked and used up. So, but we will still route it as we would with any of our other study plans and proposals, and then receive comments from the agencies.
It shouldn't really matter in this group where the stream of funding is.
Right.
It's just,
that never
you'll
matters.
See.
Well, I was just trying to clarify why it's...
Well, but what matters is priorities. If you have limited funds, you know, we're not saying this isn't important, but is it really as high a priority as some other stuff that, you know?
Yeah, see, to me that never mattered. What mattered to me was that we were open and let everyone have a piece of review time for it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you would have that.
But Stephanie's got a different point.
So it's out of sequence, but then the funding point, Stephanie, of course, that goes to the steering team, right? That's where you guys are dealing with. Here we deal with the technical aspects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then in terms of prioritization, you at your higher level, looking down on us up there, can work through that.
Yeah. If it's pulled out of the RM&E, it's part of a PDT that, you know, we don't get into the nuts and bolts of how you guys spend your different PDT monies. We're just told, oh, yeah, we're doing a Cougar Downstream Passage PDT, and it's $1 million.
But programmatically...
All right, sounds like a lot to me, but if that's what it takes...
programmatically, you should be looking at the program level up there and saying there, these activities are tied at the programmatic mm-hmm. level and it should all be tied back together. So you should be able to prioritize that. Jim, are you on the phone?
I can't hear you.
Everybody can hear me.
Yeah.
Well, I would just kind of make the analogy between SDT, where this, the funding for this, even though it's in a PDT, should be prioritized. The work for it, the steering team will look at that level and be able to tie this back to the action is tied to line item wise.
Yeah, I think the steering team is the place to set priorities.
Okay.
And then just the one last thing.
He's doing our job.
One last thing. The RM&E team really doesn't have the engineering arm to help detail these things out.
Right.
So that's why it gets kicked to a PDT.
Exactly.
That's why I came here to start with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, what we originally had planned was to do this EDR and then do a DDR and then do plans and specs. But what we found out was Green Peter had such a lot of infrastructure there that could give us a lot of data that we felt we probably needed. And we could jump right to that and save a bunch of time and money and get that via going out and do the test at Green Peter now and see what we need after that.
Will the data that you collect at Green Peter Dam be applicable to Detroit and or Cougar?
Yes.
I think what it'll do is provide data for the design of those other facilities, as in, okay, I'm just going to throw out an example here. Fish can pass at 30 feet ahead, but they can't survive at 60. So we know we got to design for that.
Need a shorter dam.
We need to do something, but it gives data to those other teams to figure out specific passage at those specific other dams.
Right.
Give a little haircut.
Well, and we have to be clear that this is about cost, too. I mean, you've been clear that it's cost effective, but I think that might be good to... What you're looking for is cheapest cost.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different...
Right now this isn't penciling out as cheapest. It's does the biological and O&M benefit outweigh the added capital cost?
I hate the word cheap. I would use least expensive.
Best value.
Yeah.
Right. So she was talking about just the capital cost, but the capital and O&M cost. We realized that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Operations.
That analysis so far.
It's still really expensive.
It was expensive to build something.
And we had to build something like the North Fork Faraday thing that's at a lower slope and goes all the way from Detroit to below Big Cliff. Mm-hmm.
Which could buy you
a lot of money.
There could be a lot of residual mortality that occurs when you do, you know, when you pass fish through two projects versus around one project. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but
cost,
you
have to understand my perspective, that cost comes at other costs. So, you know, there's a balancing.
But, yeah, and I guess you keep going back to the residual effect, and I guess what I would say is, what I envision is this is step one of collecting data here. Because we're not going to analyze the residual.
No, let me clarify.
Well, let me finish for a second. Because if we go out and we're going to test fish at a open channel flow down to the bottommost conduit through Green Peter, and we're going to test pressure at each one of those four pipes through, and we're going to test different valve settings, and we're going to test this, test that, it'd be a lot more money to then go do and analyze if those fish made it all the way down past our offices here. So I think if we can refine, okay, they survive here, they don't survive there, mm-hmm. and then the following year maybe we go out and do that to study to see the long-term effects.
I'm talking about something different, though. I'm talking about, let's say there's something. There's some kind of ancillary effect that happens when you pass fish and they're confused and disoriented.
Right.
I'm talking about that direct mortality hit that is going to occur through two projects versus one.
Yeah, I guess I was going back to what you mentioned earlier with the long-term effects. And, you know, the other thing to think about here, we're getting the specifics of Detroit, but if you go to that pipe, if you go back to that image, we still have 100 feet ahead we got to drop from that test conduit down
not
to
that
the
one,
tailor.
The next
so
one.
Gone back.
That one.
You still have from 1340 down to 1235. So maybe that 100 feet is your slow sloping pipe to the downstream of Big Cliff. But, you know, the comparison keeps being made to North Fork, but North Fork, when I was out there, they have like a 2 to 3 or whatever foot head difference in the forebay is what they told us. So they can drill that pipe through right up there at 1560 and mm-hmm. sits there all the time collecting fish just fine. Well, where do we put that pipe that's always only got a few feet ahead on it that's through the dam and going at that nice gradual slope all the way down to Big Cliff or Minto or wherever it needs to go to daylight into the river?
So we got a lot of different challenges here than, say, what?
We have opportunities too. That's the thing, is we have a lot of opportunity here.
Just keep it that low all summer long with the fishing.
We wouldn't have to worry about
it. What's the pool differential at Baker?
60 to 80.
Yeah,
I see. From
nowhere near as much as this, is it?
No.
That's truck and haul there too.
Yeah. I think from the literature review, I seem to remember somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 80.
That's what I remember from
Put it in a box, the box gets put on a boat, and the boat gets pulled over.
And it's carried over on a truck. Mm-hmm. We're not building anything out of this. We're just trying to collect data and see what it tells us, if it can inform anything, or if we can all come to agreement of some other concept for the future. That's really what this team's all about.
And that's fine. It's just, what we've said before is there are deadlines in the RPA, and this will be useful information, but we were willing to do a trap and haul kind of system like Baker in the short term, get information on how effective your collection was, start developing the returning run, and in the meantime then you'd be doing these kind of studies to help decide, well, maybe instead of spending gas and trucks for the next 20 years, as we're getting more and more dense, more and more fish coming, maybe now we can start doing this.
This is not holding up downstream passage.
They're not waiting on us. No.
Those are all other issues. But
you guys are doing the downstream passage too. It's like, how many do you guys have? How much money do you have to do it all?
This really hasn't cost that much money. Not that it matters, but it happened.
Yeah. Are you saying we should hire more people, Stephanie?
No, I'm not. I'm saying focus on the things that really need to get done. Do it.
We're trying to also focus on this so we don't lose sight of it. Because one thing that, if you invest in all that trucks and all the hoppers and all that, it's not easy to undo that.
There's going to be a lot of structure and cost associated with trap and haul.
If you build a fixed collector with onboard holding facilities and transfer facilities, then you're tied into that O&M tail, most definitely.
Pretty much that strategy, you're trap and haul forever.
Yeah. And that may be where we end up. We don't know. We're just trying to do the best and help out.
Well, we know that.
Got people love transportation and the snake in Columbia so much.
It's that hot desert sun affecting them.
Just get a barge to go
to
the big cliff and picks them up and pushes them down.
How do we get them?
It's a different system. It's not like we're barging them, from the Snake River down to the lower Columbia. We're talking about getting fish around a dam into the same system they started.
I know, the trap and haul is just so much handling.
It doesn't have to be a lot of handling, Jim. You can, like what Griff was saying at Baker, you get the fish into the hopper, and you basically put that hopper on the back of the truck. You don't move them a second time, and then you release them.
I think that density slide is really telling, though.
Yeah.
When you can find them, the one thing you didn't have on there was the lateral transmission of disease, stress on wild fish, if you've got an intermixed population. One of our lessons from the Columbia was keep the fish in the river. Mm-hmm. One of the things we really stressed, because we learned from our small monitoring facility experiences about debris, about stress, about mortality. So.
One of my questions is why does the delayed effective passage have to be an add-on at a later date in terms of monitoring?
For this particular test?
Yeah.
Well, coming back to what Jeff said, is this test that we're doing in June is we're looking at the four, we're using the opportunity of Green Peter as our test lab, and we've got these four conduits through the dam. On our first stage of maybe a series of tests, maybe two tests, six tests, I don't know,
right,
is to find out what elevations these fish could pass at what pressures, and if they're passing fine at 30 or 60 or 80 feet, but then they start dying at 100 and something feet, that's our first problem right there. Right now, we've got enough items on our list for the test than to add the downstream effects or the delayed effects, because then we're starting to build and build. It's better if we start collecting this forefront data and then build on that. This is what we learned. Now our next step is, okay, well, they did fine through all these different pressures and elevation, but will they survive, you know, traveling to Big Cliff or past our offices here? We can't really do that long-term step, study all in one bulk, and coming back to our RME studies.
These direct capture studies at Green Peter are really cost-effective. So,
yeah, I know my concern.
So it doesn't matter what your delayed mortality effect is. If, you know, three-quarters of the fish come out as hamburger, you don't want to be tagging them with a $200 JCS tag.
That's fine, but I don't see why it wouldn't hurt to show the schedule and show what that test would be as the second phase of the testing. My concern is that we're going to have another miscommunication about where you're measuring mortality, if it's concrete, you know, only, or if it's the real effects of passing.
Well, we would tell you, this is our test, then the report will say, this is what we tested, these are the results at concrete only within 48 hours. And then if we feel add-on studies are required, like Griff said, if we find out that all these fish are coming out minced, then we know we've got bigger problems at the dam. We don't need to study long-term effects. If they all pass safely, then we'll report they pass safely through all these conduits at different elevations and pressures. Now our next step is, how far, you know, are they going to survive to the estuary, or are they going to survive?
We don't even have to go through to the estuary. My concern is that, you know, we may be missing a giant chunk of mortality in the model if we say, well, we only measure concrete effects. And I just want to be clear up front. If that's where you're going with this, then please be clear with me, because I have different concerns.
Well, that's where we're going with the test in June. We don't.
Yeah.
In June, our test is only for through those four conduits.
Yeah, I know.
And then
it'll go into the model as a potential alternative, just using those study results.
What model are you talking
like
about?
The Fish Benefits Workbook, right?
No.
Not at this level.
Not at this level.
This is just collecting some key uncertainty information on passing fish from different elevations, right?
That is correct.
I think this is some key information you need to gather, because we need to know whether or not it's even possible.
Yeah,
right.
That is true.
It's fine. Yeah. I'm just trying to see where your conversation is going to go once we get that.
So even if it all looked really good, say it all looked really good, we're still not done with the testing. We still would want to look at, right? We would still want to look at the delayed effects and other things.
We would then decide our next steps. These fish did fine. But coming back to this model, our results from our June test next spring, as far as I know, it's not feeding into any COP model or SLAM model or anything. This is more of our high-head team collecting data and filling the data gaps. And if we find that these fish make it safely through the concrete to the tail rays, well, then we write a report and we said, okay, our next steps is then whatever it is we do next.
So the 90%, though, it's gonna ease all of my concerns, right? You're going to have all of this discussion in there, right?
I hope so. And if not, then you can, when you respond, you can say, hey, can you elaborate or can you clarify?
But I think some of your concern is looking way out into the future. And this team hasn't looked way out in the future. I see where you're coming from, at least I think I do. But we've looked at, and I think as the last slide in the package said, was where do we go from here? And it's kind of dependent on what results we get from this test. Because here's a couple scenarios I could see play out. One, I could envision that the fish aren't going to survive at 120 feet ahead. Right.
Yeah, that's key.
Right.
Yeah.
So I suspect that they're going to maybe survive at 30, maybe at 60, but I don't know that. So once we see what the fish results are, if they survive, say, at 30, okay, then we go back to Green Peter. We release fish only at the 30-foot of head and see how they go all the way through the system like I think you're getting at. But let's say, just by chance, they all survived even at 120 feet ahead. Find that really unlikely, but let's just say they did. Then our next path might be, well, let's go to Detroit, because it's the only other thing we have that's got 200 feet ahead on it.
maybe we do something, we test them going through there to see do they survive at 200 feet ahead. So we try to narrow in where's that sweet spot of what's the maximum. Once we find where that maximum is, then we go just short of that maximum, and maybe some higher than that, some, you know, shorter elevation pressure differentials. And then we start doing that long-term, all these other things. Because I just envision, and I'm not an expert in all these biological testings and the cost of those, but I'm just envisioning that's an added cost that we don't need to bear right now because we're not there yet. We don't know where that threshold is, so why spend all this money on all these six or whatever scenarios we've got that we're trying to test?
Right.
To see the long-term.
My concern really is that we're not memorializing that path forward. And that I'm not accusing you of going and just like running with this hot, cool, new information, fish survived, plugging in, fish benefit workbook, running far out in front of us, and we're suddenly like, whoa, wait a minute here. We can't buy into that. So I don't...
No.
Extra language would be really
nice. Well, yeah. What might be ideal to solve both agencies' concerns here would be that you need to provide us data, and I think Griff mentioned earlier, you need to provide us data, and we could add that into the conclusions, if you will, part of this 90% EDR that states that based on the results of this test, long-term effects may need to be captured or should be captured, however you want to word that, and you know, whatever all else that we can, and what the path forward needs to be to get these adopted into design parameters for Detroit or Cougar or whatever from a NIMS standpoint, because, you know.
So we can capture the concerns and the notes today, and then you guys are going to have your 90% review.
And then we can add language.
Definitely.
We can put stuff like that in there. I think that makes sense. Yeah. That way we all understand where, you know, what has to happen in the future.
I can even make some comments, you know, that in there, if you'd like us to do that, to say, you know, if it's not in there now, to add conclusions and verbiage as to these things that we're discussing right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to avoid that future
bolting
of the horses out of
and
the gate.
And misunderstandings and that from there.
And I guess I'm still thinking about the schedule, and I guess I'd like you guys to try to write up what you think... just like we tried developing in an RM&E comprehensive plan, what are the steps you take to make decisions about downstream fish passage? What kind of studies do you need? And I know you guys are saying this is kind of the first step for this piece about the Hyatt bypass. You want to know survival right through the pipe. If that is really bad, then plan's not going to work. We've got to come up with a different type of pipe. Mm-hmm. There's other bypasses. But... you know, if you could try to lay out, okay, and if this shows that it is feasible, 120 feet pressurized pipe, then the next step would be, the next year we're going to actually test something through this, we're going to start opening up the Navy tube? I mean, how many years are we talking before you have enough data to say, okay, let's try it, let's put that in the design? Because if it's a 10-year process just to make a decision on the bypass and we're holding up downstream passage for that, that's what worries me.
Yeah, but again, I don't see this holding up downstream passage.
Well, but you haven't shown me what your steps are. All I know is you're going to do one study next summer.
We haven't shown that is because it's very dependent on what the results are. So we haven't gone through a matrix of laying out all these, you know, what if this, what if that, what if this. So
we've done it. A biologist can do it. They can say what kind of studies you need to
go for.
Well, I mean, you can do a very simple flow chart, pass, fail, right?
You're right.
We
might
be happy to
have
science in action.
I'm going to be on a plane on Friday to the East Coast in a drunken stupor.
You'll be
very
creative.
That's right. I'll be writing up the study plan on my broken phone.
We can take
it. And definitely.
I mean, I suggested that we move ahead with Trap and Haul, I heard Jim, I heard Bob, I heard lots of people saying, you don't want to do that. We didn't like it on the Columbia. We don't want to do that. So if we don't want to do it, let's come up with a clear plan for how we're going to get the data you need to put in a system that you like in a reasonable time frame. The fish, as you know, are doing worse and worse each year. We can't keep waiting for 20 years to make a decision on what to do for juvenile fish. Okay, so everybody's nodded.
Ready?
He's writing down.
Should we go on?
Or agreed to do this.
Her fingers are bloody.
Move forward.
Schedule.
Okay. Thanks, guys. That was a great presentation. Hey, Fred. We're going to go with the core facility updates first. Could you ping Cam for me, please?
Sure.
So, next agenda item is we thought, since it's kind of the end of the run here, we're right before spawning activities, it'd be good to get an update to this group. I know it's a normal update for the hatchery management team. Get an update to this group on adult passage counts at the various facilities, core facilities, ODFW-run facilities.
Very great.
One other thing that the Corps is interested in is trying to standardize this and make it more available information on pretty much an instantaneous basis, rather than just an update at the end of the year or monthly at the hatchery management team meeting.
You talking website?
Potentially. I mean, we have fish counts for the Columbia on the web, so maybe.
I mean, see, it seems like you've got an engine or something built that you could just add to.
It would seem that simple. I agree.
I guess it's not that simple, huh? Okay.
So Andy's first big tasker for this group is to at least work out a standardized spreadsheet. So one of the things we got to figure out is what information is of use to people, because we don't want to have, you know, a spreadsheet with 100 columns that, you know, only 10 or 12 apply to each facility. You know, what we were thinking at least initially is, you know, the dates that the trap was operated, the numbers by species, origin for each species, and sex call on them too. So
let me interrupt then. Are you talking about, you're not talking about some kind of a query search like we can do now. You're talking about just maybe a document that's uploaded every once in a while that we can download?
So the facility managers, yeah, okay, provide the information.
Well, maybe you can show like what we have right now from, you know, the Minto trap camps. Is that what you're thinking about? Are you thinking about the latter?
Well,
like Bennett counts and...
It'd be great to have...
stuff, Lieber counts?
Kind of what we were envisioning, yeah, was a single spreadsheet with a worksheet for each counting station. Mm-hmm. So... as you know, the numbers of unmarked fish and marked fish is not differentiated in the information available from Willamette Falls to the general
right.
public.
Right.
Same thing for the spreadsheets that go out for Foster and Minto. So those sorts of things. So
although they were, I thought Minto does have it. Huh? Yeah. Is Fred
there's,
on? I don't know who else.
There's a couple different spreadsheets.
On. I've seen Minto counts that...
Online?
No, they send them. But,
well, not everyone's on the distribution
right,
list.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So.
That's, and that's the kind of side group you need then. What?
Go ahead, Fred.
Were you asking me if I've seen Minto numbers?
Yeah.
No, I just get the Foster numbers.
Okay, well, I get the Minto ones that Bart sends to... Ed sends them to me.
So our plan going forward is to have a straw man put together by Andy, and we'll send it to this group and to the hatchery management team because it involves both teams.
Well, the other things, I mean, I've asked them for stuff if we're talking about adult traps, and just start there. Don't deal with all the I mean, you know, at least start with that. All that stuff. We want, I've asked, I'd like to know, you know, how many of those adults you're getting back you're using for broodstock, how many are being outplanted,
okay,
and then where they're being outplanted.
So disposition.
To, you know, yeah, disposition. And what Greg Grinbenner and Bart, I don't know if they're two separate spreadsheets, they might be, but they've got one from the North Sandham that tells us, you know, what their disposition is. It's probably a separate page. Yeah. Bart sends one that has the upper Bennett counts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then there's the Minto counts as well.
So what we'll do is have Andy take
look
a crack at it.
Based on the stuff that's already out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And then try to get some feedback from you guys on what's in there that shouldn't be in there and what isn't in there that should. And then also explore ways of facilitating ease of updating for the facility managers, right? So, you know, rather than having different spreadsheets with different information come to one person and them being charged with collating it and giving it to the rest of the group, you know, maybe there's some sort of web-based doc that can be updated by folks. And so being a young man and savvy to that kind of stuff,
that's right.
He'll probably come up with something.
And are we talking about something then that would be available to this group, maybe not publicly available, if there's concern about that?
I think there's any number of ways we can work it. I think what's going to be important is, you know, if we're adding to people's plates, making sure they're aware of the value of it, and how we would appreciate it too. So,
if you're asking people who have to read video tapes to read twice as many or to do it, you know, I mean, they have jobs and they have to be paid for what they do. And I think that's part of why there's delay in some of the things. So, I don't know. But I mean, I totally agree. I want that information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we're asking people to do something that's twice as much work as what they were doing before, somebody's got to pay for it. So, and it may just be give them an easier spreadsheet to fill in. It's no more work. That'd be great.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
Good. So
when are we going to do this? Are you going to send like a straw man out to like here's the fields you're thinking of, mm-hmm. and just have people comment back?
Yeah, sometime in the next few weeks.
Okay.
We've done it already, but he doesn't have a computer yet.
Yeah.
He's going to training.
You gonna have a computer by next month?
I got one.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow! Look at you.
This morning. Jeez.
It took them 2 months to get me one.
You gotta bribe those guys.
Oh, they didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Great. Doug, are you on?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Doug, you're on.
You guys, can you hear me better now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are looking for Fall Creek and Cougar numbers?
Yes, please.
I went to the headset because I'm in the new office and it's just, I don't have any very much phone cord. But, okay, today, date at Fall Creek, we are up to 454 spawners, Chinook. I have a breakdown if folks are interested as far as origin.
Yeah.
Okay, we have... up to date, as of yesterday, 222 female non-marked, 221 male non-marked, 5 non-marked jacks. As far as ad clippers go, 2 females and 4 males, no jacks. So that's a grand total of 454 total at Fall Creek to date.
Can you go over the marked fish again?
Okay, so sorry. Marked fish. 2 females,
4 males,
and 4 males. 4 boys, 2 girls.
Great. Thanks for clearing that up, Doug.
And then, do you have the steelhead numbers?
Oh, I don't have them handy in front of me. Sorry, go back. Spreadsheet out.
I think I got them.
I get it. Actually, did something this year to make sense better on the spreadsheet.
So when you say marked, you're talking about
clipped.
41 winters, 42 summers at Fall Creek.
And so, Doug, the winters were passed up above and went to the summers.
The summers were fully tagged and released into the tail race.
Cool.
And we're getting all kinds of interesting feedback from anglers about both, because we Floy tag both, excuse me, we Floy tag the winners that go above as well, many of which get eaten, and likely most of which, unfortunately, are sent to their demise above the dam.
When you say get eaten, do you mean by bears?
Well, do they squander in the reservoir, or are the anglers can consume them because of you know, the res regulation?
Because they're kept as trout.
Yeah.
So basically, before they get to spawn, having made it from through the entire system, they're killed because of fishing regulations.
Kind of. I mean, they get stuck up there. They may spawn. We don't know. We know that they do seek out spawning grounds because we threw some radio tags in them 1 year.
Okay.
And then they also interact with the resident rainbows, which is kind of neat. It's super fascinating how they can find each other in these little teeny discharge creeks. But yeah, we end up we did, at least during our radio tagging or with angler input, finding that they end up back in the impoundment and they're stuck.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Any other questions on Fall Creek? Cougar?
Cougar. 121 Chinooks of spawning age. Unfortunately, at Cougar, that's where we are this year. Breakdown. 49 non-marked girls. When you're doing this in the field with 10,000 researchers just all over the place, it's so much better to say girls and boys than male, female, when the action's heavy. Okay, 67 male. It does, because everybody's like, did you say male or female? Over and over. Okay, so anyway, 49 non-marked females, cougar. 67 non-marked males. No jacks, non-marked jacks. As far as ad clippers, 4 females, 1 male ad clip, no jacks there.
Sorry, did you want to give the steelhead numbers first, or?
Well, steelhead, I've got to open up a different bridge for that, sorry. But I did want to add, we get some summers here and there. But let me open that one up, because Chad kind of takes care of it, but he successfully had a baby, boy.
Oh, yeah, Thursday. That's right, that was last week.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, last Thursday, so.
No. Oh, Chad!
Yeah, Rachel did. They didn't do the non-traditional. I know the Eugene area. Okay.
Still think only six summer.
Here, I'm getting it, just saying that here, for sure, for 13, coming up on the blade speed. Five is what I got.
Five? Okay.
And that's for summers. And,
So, do you know what?
Five bull trout passed the boat this year.
There you go, Dave.
Right.
If anybody's curious, as far as our hatchery balance, you know, I found Kurt's numbers as of the 18th for Mackenzie, and they're up to, 1,713 collected adult Chinook at Mackenzie Hatchery to date. Last year to date, 1,901. That's 1,000 males, roughly 1,009 males, 629 females collected at Mackenzie Hatchery.
So,
I have a question. Do you have much, any evidence of fish hanging out below there for the cougar trout?
We go and we watch. We go to the usual spots, and it's nothing like the past.
Yeah.
Normally there'll be a dozen or so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see 3 or 4, and then they're gone. And we, you know, maybe we collect them, maybe we don't.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. You don't have leaper counts, because I know that it's really low too.
Well, okay. I have an anecdotal word of mouth from Mike Hovenson. This is. Week 4 last time he could give me a rough number, and I have no idea as far as how updated the video was, but he told me roughly 800 non-marked fish above Leeburg, Chinook, adult Chinook, 200 hatchery.
Yeah.
You might want to confirm with Mikey on that one, though. to get more recent info, but that was 2 weeks ago.
So, Doug, quick question for you. Do you know what ODFW and maybe Lance, have they discussed the supplementation this year above Cougar? Are we going to stick to females only? Or are they going
to I do not know. I meant to call Lance. I did let him know when we had congressionals down a couple weeks ago. What I had heard from Mike, but I haven't heard what where Lance has gone with that.
Yeah.
We've been hauling the Markfish just because it's been such a poor year.
Right.
We decided on that. Yeah, and you guys remember the beginning of September, they start to go down the Blue River, and only repeat offenders go above the dam, the last I heard.
Mm-hmm.
They go below blue. What are you saying? The
so
patch?
Because of the breakdown and the pedigree
mm-hmm.
work, after September 1, it's been deemed that
we
the spawners were contributing. Yeah, we're from below. So we've been hauling them after September 1st down below the confluence of the South Fork down to Blue River.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
and only the ones that come back do you take about?
Yeah, then we double index Foytag. So if they show back up with Foytag, then they go above the dam.
Yeah.
So I'll send an email to Lance and Kurt and Jeff Ziller, sort of asking what the plan is.
Yeah, thank you. We were going to call him and figure it out. Greg usually does that. He's been off on the Middle Fork with Sam, and he just got back and trying to catch, get on his feet. So, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much, because I've been kind of wondering.
They haven't been out planting any hatchery fish up there yet?
I haven't heard. I don't want to give you misinformation.
Okay.
But it was the slim pickings there. Mackenzie, you know, they reconfigured the entrance to the hatchery, and they got an immediate result. So I hope that that's happening. They put more of a waterfowl ball.
I saw a photo of it. It looked better.
Yeah. So hopefully that might mean something.
Yeah. It's a pretty simple solution to a three-year study negotiation process.
You have to be
okay, careful. Is Cam on?
$60 or something.
Study worked. Well, we'll see.
Have you heard anything from Cam, Fred?
I sent him a text. I haven't got a reply. I can go see if I can track him down. He's at another meeting.
Okay.
And he was going to bag out of it to go to this one.
Can you change that slide to the people slide? That's more pleasing to look at.
To the which slide?
The people slide.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, I just think it's funny. I stole it from Griff.
You stole it from him.
He's the one who made that original slide.
Well, since Cam's not with us, why don't we discuss next month? And then adjourn, and then I'll ask him to provide us a written update.
What did you want him to provide?
So I'll give him a call and see if I can't get a hold of him real quick.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Fred. We'll cover next month while we do that. So next month we had a couple agenda items for Cougar. So sharing our assumptions and results of that Run a River Fish Benefit Workbook run. And then I guess we need to talk internally and then maybe talk with you about whether we want to discuss that replacement item. It's something the team wants to move forward on. But
you keep talking about it, but then we never talk about it. So
I know.
What do you want to talk about it?
I think
talking about it.
We don't want to talk about it. I feel like I'm in Saturday Night Live.
I think the important thing is defining the metric. The replacement metric. That's what Sean and I are getting at.
So. You have a proposal? I mean, I thought that there was some stuff that the Science Center had done. And we said, okay, if that's, if you're just using it to eliminate some alternatives, it's not a standard for making a decision on fish passage. Okay. But if it helps you get some of the things off the table, do it.
Okay. Well, we'll look at that.
What's the date of the next meeting?
It's the towards the end of September. We could tell you here shortly.
Is your phone working then?
Somewhat. Not anymore. It's locked up.
God. I've got a handy-dandy like paper one. You know?
There you go. That might work.
And I just updated it yesterday.
It's the last 30th. Tuesday in September.
It is the 30th.
So I can't get a hold of Cam. He's in that other meeting. So might have to skip that.
Okay, no problem.
Is he going to be back here, Griff, somewhere?
No, what we had discussed last month is having it in Salem.
Oh, that's right. I remember now.
So on the last day of the fiscal year.
On the last day of the fiscal year.
I want to be as far away from
as possible.
Hey, excuse me, guys. Doug.
Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, you guys, are we going to go with the 1 o'clock starts, or is it the 9 a.m. starts? I haven't been on one of these calls forever.
I'll send out an agenda. It kind of depends on how many items we have, but usually when we do traveling meetings, we try to start in the morning just so that for traffic purposes.
Yeah. Can you guys 10 to 2 or something?
Yeah. Can you guys go?
I usually start at 9:30 or something, don't you?
Yeah, so how about 9:30 in Salem? Does that work for everyone?
Yep.
Sure.
Let me know if there's additional agenda items.
No, wait.
I thought we had a couple things. We had the Cougar.
We had things that didn't happen this week that you were supposed
to
do. Yeah. Like the Foster.
I could ask them. I'm not going to promise.
Because you promised last time.
Not me. The project manager did. Not me. I want to make that very clear. The project manager did.
Well, I mean, we have to provide some form of update.
We do, and we should. We're going to work that internally and hopefully provide an update at the September meeting. Okay. We need to work it internally.
How about Andy's fancy dance?
There you go, Andy. You're on hold. Take the pressure off me.
Okay.
2 weeks.
Okay, but you know, we might
want to
talk. Yeah, we could work.
We could roll it out and have it on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Do a presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
One slide.
We need a 20-minute PowerPoint.
Yeah.
You need
short
some
and sweet, man.
You need some people in the
All right.
Crowded elevator.
What about what about Detroit? The HDR stuff. Gonna be ready, I guess.
Jeff isn't here or Sean isn't here.
Okay. 90% checkpoint for
high-head
bypass.
You got, I don't know if it would give the region enough time to review it, so it would be unfair to try to discuss it, because by the time, right now we're doing the internal DQC, that's going to be done next week. Hey, Dan, are you still on the phone?
I sure am.
I sent you the report for BPA review.
Yeah, it's a very fetching read.
Good deal. and so we're hoping to get it out to the region for their review by middle of September. So I don't think it'd be fair, because it's a pretty big report, to try to discuss it.
This is the high head bypass one, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the report itself was only about 45 pages, but maybe you're talking about the appendices that are in March.
Yeah, I need to send those to you. I'll have to do those by FTP, because
it's
a pretty big file.
Okay.
I guess
so you're thinking like September 15th-ish?
Well, no, for you, we'd like it back by next Friday.
Oh, okay.
Because BPA is part of our internal review.
Right.
Once we get it back, our internal review, our team will address comments, and then we'll send it out for the region.
Okay, I think that should be doable, depending on how big the appendices are or how...
They're all drawings, and
they're large as in data size, but not as in
correct. Yeah, it's not text. It's all the drawings with the plans of the different dams and the pipes and all that.
No, I have all of tomorrow blocked out to read it.
Thank you.
What format will it be in? Will it be in a PDF or?
Mm-hmm. Do you want a Word? I can send you the Word.
Yeah, if we're gonna have to come up with language, Word would be really good.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Stephanie's snickering at
me. No, I'm snickering at Dan. Oh. The word is good.
So then you could do track changes.
Yeah. I'm not sure if Dan just made fun of me.
But the thing is,
I'm not making fun of you.
Although,
just making a quip.
Although the question with the, if we do track changes, because normally what we do is the formal, and then we get, you send your comments on a formal back with, you know, question, blah, blah, blah. How would we do that if we did it in track changes?
Well, normally what we do is before the draft comes out, we'll share a pre-draft, and then we can put information in it. And then you can button it up and send it as a PDF.
Okay. Then
it's a
we
better
could do
review that.
That way. Okay.
And what we really hope to do is at the checkpoint meeting work through as many issues as possible.
Yeah.
And then so we condense down the letter writing campaign back and forth.
Yeah, that helps. Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if we have time.
But no Google Docs, please.
For the end. No. For the end of September, if that could be a... unless your agenda... is your agenda full?
If it's too full, then we'll schedule a breakout. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, we'll see when we get it to you.
Okay.
But, I'll send you a Word.
Thank you.
Dan, I can send you a Word document, too.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. All right.
Participants.
Hey, Fred.
Conference.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you look into a room in Salem on the 30th?
Say it again, please.
A participant has left the conference.
Just hold on a second.
Has left the conference.
Yeah, if you could look into a room in Salem on the 30th.
On the 30th?
Has left the conference.
What's the estimated group size?
I'd say 15. And it'll be from 9:30 till 3.
Okay, 30th of September.
Yes, please.
All right. 9:30 to what?
3, please.
Okay. Will do.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right.
One final question. I did see the notes that you did, Tammy. They're really great. I had some comments, but I haven't finished doing some edits. I saw that you weren't sure who some people were, so you called them XYZ.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Because I came in.
That's okay. So, I don't know, can we talk about those at the next meeting? Did you guys discuss them today?
We had time for that.
Fred Munzik?
If you want to provide them either by email.
I haven't had time to compare. Some of them I was trying to figure out what it was about, so I wanted to go back and look at my notes.
Okay.
To clarify, because it was...
There's also the audio, if you would like to live through that meeting.
No. I lived through it once.
I know Gary Fredericks does it quite frequently.
Does he? Would it help if we wore name tags or had tent cards or something?
No,
that was my first
meeting. I came in and I was sitting behind you all.
Okay.
And I had missed the introduction, so I didn't want to miss your comments.
Was there anything you wanted to discuss now?
Let's just do it. We'll just do it electronic.
Most of them were... some of them were just filling in things like that or question like about the... the thing that Jeff was talking about doing a contract, and it was unclear in here what we were contracting for, so I wanted to just clarify.
Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Well, look it over and either send us an email or we can talk about it next one.
I might just send you an email with it. Was it in Word that you sent out?
Yeah.
I think it was, so we could do some redlining.
Yeah, the Word is good.
Yes, feel free to do that because I'm still new to the Willamette.
Yeah. Okay.
Try to
Thanks, everyone.
Is anyone still on the phone? Mm-hmm. Nope, they're gone.
Cam just checked in.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Cam.
Hey. A participant has joined the meeting.
As I'm hanging up.
Where's the... There's nowhere I can go on the web right now and find current fish numbers.
You can go on ODFW's Fish Division and look for fish counts. They've got Willamette Falls. They've got Foster. They have Lieberg, but they don't update it. And I guess told me was if they update it, they get too many fishermen like calling them and harassing them all the time about stuff. I don't know.
They get some of those fishermen harassing.
Or that they don't have a person to read the tapes, and so that's what's happened. They might be like 2 weeks behind, and somebody's like, "Well, what happened last week?" And they're like, "Well, our person can't. They're out doing work. They can't read the tapes today." And so they just figured, let's not put them up at all because we don't have consistent reading capability.
Is there an end of the year?
Foster, though, they're pretty good at updating.
Yeah, Foster, Brett sends out that update regularly, every few days, I think.
But and then this Minto thing, if you can try to get on that list.
I was on it.
I think I forwarded it to some of you guys because they started getting Lamprey.
I think I saw it once.
And so I thought, hey, you guys might want to see this. I don't know if I sent it to you or Chris Allen or
who. Is there an end of the year report for each project? Or is there an end of the year report?
I don't know what they put in there.
Yeah, we're playing on
because if you wanted to go back and look at some historical numbers, look at some, like, try to do some analysis or comparison.
Well, I know I've been trying to get it from Greg and Doug from Fall Creek because they used to produce really good, you know, summaries of the weekly catch there.
Be special, the special people.
In the last couple years, I get it maybe once in the summer, and then at the end of the year, they send me another one. But, it, you know, and that's done by the Corps, so it's like different people are doing it a little bit differently. But
I don't know.
So, you know, it's not just one group.
It just seems like you should be able to go and find something that's got all the numbers from last year.
Fishcountwebpage.com.
Or just even a printed report that's posted on the web somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should be able to.
Yeah, I'm going to figure something else.
The funny thing about Nintendo is anything to do with very touchy, and any operation that you have changes will give me calls from fishermen, government services, everything else, because I'm part of the record for FERC, for the FERC license. Yeah, so I can I can see why it is that they real time.
Yeah. You can have it on our little website. Thanks, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy.
Now I gotta go back to the office.
I'm gonna work on notes.
You erase that.
I don't think it caught it. I was talking over.
The last meeting we were at, we used up every minute of time, and so I figured that's what would happen today. So I didn't plan on going back to Vancouver.
I wouldn't go back to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Spend all your time driving, anyways. So do you put these notes on your website, Tammy? Your website?
Yes. That's where they
you
are.
Know, if I, was going, if I was going back to Vancouver, she'd probably have them on the website before I got back there.
Probably.
I'm not as quick with Willamette because Dave sent that. I told him, don't send these out because I got to go back and put the last names in there rather than XXY. He's like, oh, well, shit. All right. So now I won't review.
Lots of comments.
Oh my God. Jeez.
Yeah. Big bold letters next time. Do not send out yet.
Have you looked at the Willamette website?
The Willamette website.
I've
looked at the Corps site.
If you go to FPOM, so you're all familiar with
it. Oh no, you're talking about the document site.
Yeah. So then there's HMT here, and it looks very similar to the FPOM site. And then there's you gotta go way over to the corner and down the FPT site.
FPT. Is FPT and water the same thing?
Water would be REOG and FCRPS, I think. Water is the policy, and then these are your technical groups under it. So there's not a whole lot on these, but you can find them. So here's FPOM. You can find them down here on the corner.
In the corner. Oh, okay.
And part of the reason for that is because this isn't a district site, this is a division site, and I'm not sure PAO would be happy. So I just tucked it up.
Kind of on the down low.
Right off on the side, huh?
Yeah, but I have asked for documents to post because I know that there are documents that get discussed at meetings and then I don't get them.
Yeah. I was wondering for fish counts because
easy to put them up here.
What Griff was talking about originally was something on Google Docs. That way, all the hatchery managers could access it and update it whenever they wanted, and also anyone could access it to go and just look at the numbers whenever they wanted. But you can give certain editing privileges to just the hatchery managers, so not anyone could change it. But I don't know how official Google Docs is. for something like this? I mean, it probably wouldn't fly in the long run, but...
It works on your home computer, and ODFW can probably use it, but mm-hmm. for us, it keeps telling us to update to Chrome.
Yeah.
So then you got to go through ACET and then all the core folks who want to access...
Well, you don't have to update to Chrome to use it.
You don't, but it makes it easier to use.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we used it for LDP before Google updated to Chrome, and it mm-hmm. was great, and then they did the Chrome thing, and mm-hmm. we had a lot of trouble trying to access
it. It's probably better on Firefox than Internet yeah. Explorer,
yes.
which you can download, I heard. You can get Firefox?
Yes, you can.
We're starting to get squeezed on our computer use for what we can use and what we can't use. We're getting real close to having to be able to, or we're getting real close to having to have to use the card. Yes.
It's just a matter of time. And God forbid you forget it at home, because there goes your whole day.
Yeah, well, I couldn't remember my PIN number the other day, and I'm going, I had to come in. I had to make an appointment and come downtown and go to the special place.
Oh,
put your thumb on something.
Oh, yep.
Okay, give me a new number. Okay, pick one. Thank you. Bye. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It messes me up because I used to always enter it on a big keyboard, like on the number pad on the side.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I had to go do it like on the top row or like on a scanner somewhere, and I'm like, oh. It's totally different.
Yeah.
It was all just
yeah,
muscle memory when it was right here.
Like,
I'm used to
okay.
a telephone keypad or number pad.
Right.
And then you got to be careful, because if you're using numbers to represent letters, if you're spelling out something, sometimes they'll change the phones and the numbers are...
Yeah.
You got to be real careful.
Mm-hmm. Some of them have like four letters and some of them have three.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
See, that's what happened when they demonopolized ATT.
Okay. Well, thank you. Good luck in your new position.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
So you're going to be sitting...
I'm right